gentlemen. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we?
Doing great. A little under the weather, but when there's money to manage, no time to be sick.
Three of us.
Yeah.
Right. I think this might be the first time all three of us are congested.
Might sound a little nasally today, but that's all right. We'll get through.
Well, hey, we know we had a podcast there kind of like towards the end of December, but we wanted to kind of swing back and, you know, look at maybe December a little bit towards the end of the month, but more specifically kind of what we're looking at this year, what we saw last year, kind of wrap, put a bow on it. And
get back to what you expect.
Right.
I mean, let's talk about December and how things went. And again, we'll take a look into 2025 together, but let's close out the year.
Yeah. Well, let's just start right on.
Yeah.
How did December look?
Well, you know, based on our kind of mid-month podcast, we encountered some chop. And that chop was, I mean, we had just a blockbuster November when you look at the equity markets. And quite frankly, a lot of risk assets did well in November. Too well.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what the market's really good at, giving you more than you deserve, and then it typically takes back more than it needs to. And that's the way it flows. So when you had such a robust move, you would expect that some of that would walk back. So in the month of December, we actually did see the S&P 500 finish down 2.5%, which is just top 500 companies in the U.S. as measured by market cap. The aggregate bond index was also under pressure in the month of December. And again, the aggregate bond index, just a basket of bonds, was down 1.64%. So really, it was tough to find anything that worked in December. So it was tough. But
well, we're always looking for things that work. We're always looking for, you know, how do we add value? How do we find some, maybe we will say, inefficiencies, or try to take advantage of things with client portfolios? So if we look at the portfolio, like kind of updating what we're looking at within the portfolio, talking about risk-free rates, or looking at bonds, or maybe where there's some opportunity, you know, what do we see there?
So I'd invite anyone to go back and review these podcasts that we do. You know, I think we've stayed on the scent of one thing that has really helped our clients navigate through the interest rate volatility, which translates into the bond market. And the bond market has really been a tough place when you have this tremendous inflation pressure, which then typically gets combated with raising interest rates, and then interest rates, all of a sudden you hear from the Fed and they drop. This tremendous volatility has really been challenging on just that status quo portfolio. I think we've done a really good job understanding how to manage duration through this time period. Also, we've very much, and this is, again, just kind of a roundup of the year, if you will, also being focused on large, well-established U.S. companies. Yeah, maybe that's a little concentrated, but look, if it works, that's what we're going to do. And we've got a rigorous system that puts us onto the things that offer us, I think, the best, and I think you would both agree, the best chances of a good outcome.
Right.
You know, that's what we're always striving for. So when it comes to the portfolio, you'll notice that there have been themes throughout the year that we've stuck with that have really driven home what we would consider a very good outcome for the year of 2024. So when it comes to, did we do anything in the month of December? No, we didn't.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that we're not hard at work looking at the chessboard and looking at where that next move needs to be. And these moves, they need to be very critical and well drawn up.
Right.
Yeah. So again, no movement in the portfolios for the month of December, but we are preparing for some tactical moves, and be prepared to see some transactions in your portfolio.
And, you know, if we stay on this theme of, you know, markets and maybe making adjustments, maybe not making adjustments, trying to take advantage, you know, a few moves down the line in terms of like chess, and you use that as a metaphor, you know, we noticed some market weakness, right? There, obviously, in December, you know, you mentioned it, you know, a couple topics ago, but, you know, we didn't really have much breadth, you know, when you kind of looked, there was nowhere to go, right?
Right, nowhere to go. One of the concerning things I think you're going to see out there, if you really get micro into the market and looking at just different sectors and what have you, and looking at, all right, how many stocks are participating in the up days? How many stocks are participating, you know, when things are good? You know, breadth is, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, is it just three or four stocks that are going up and driving the market higher? Or is it 200, 500? I mean, if it's bigger and wider, that means breath is healthy and good, and that's actually a really good sign. I think one of the issues that you've seen with these last pushes up higher,
right,
as we're hitting new all-time highs, the breath, the participation is slowing down. That's kind of concerning. So just an example, you know, when you're looking at what's called technical analysis is really focusing in on the charts, you know, looking at a stock chart. One would argue that that's human behavior playing out for you right inside of that stock chart. So you're going to want to anticipate some movements by simply looking at the chart, technical analysis. Imagine if a few stocks are above their 50-day moving average and then a lot are below it. Usually if a stock is below its 50-day moving average, some would say, it's exuding weak properties. Mm-hmm. Well, what about the four that are above holding everything up and then there's a lot down below that are looking weak? That creates a riskier environment than having more stocks with breadth above and in a healthy environment. Something to pay attention to. Right. The other thing that you're seeing playing out too is stocks are rather expensive here. Yep. You know, valuations are pretty high relative to history. Doesn't mean that they can't stay high. It doesn't mean that stocks, when you look at their valuation, what you're looking at is the price relative to their earnings. Well, okay, so maybe a stock price is high, but then those earnings are going to go. And, you know, I might buy my son two sizes too big shoes because he's going to grow into them, right? Well, there you go. Maybe the stocks are going to grow into those valuations, but something to be aware of. I think that the other thing that's out there is the U.S. dollar, that a lot has changed mm-hmm. with the U.S. dollar, characteristically speaking. And you don't have enough time on this podcast for me to get really in depth there. But remember what we've said the U.S. dollar is. That's basically our risk-free rate,
right,
our R-starred, if you will. Well, imagine if you've relied on this risk-free rate for a very long time. But then in more recent history, characteristically speaking, it has totally changed. Something to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot moving here. And, you know, when it comes to portfolios, there's a lot to keep track of. But there's other things that will drive those portfolio movements as well. So right. What do we have for our next topic?
Well, and one of the things, that I guess, Ryan, that I'll kind of step yeah. in is, you, like you said, the recapping in November, election is over. Nice move higher in the markets, you know, with you know, the results happening. And not necessarily because it was a red wave, but just the certainty of, okay, we've got, you know, who is going to be in office now.
Right.
So we've got the rally, and now we've got sort of that digestion happening, mm-hmm. you know, after the election period, where maybe we're seeing some fights, you know, that may be pulling ahead into December with the continuing resolution and debt ceiling,
yeah.
You know, happening. Ryan, are we, you know, what can we kind of anticipate moving forward?
No, it's a great question. So I mentioned this to you earlier. It's kind of like, right after the election, we traded on the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody read the article. The article is theoretically where you're going to find the meat of what the headline has to say. So right after the election, everything rips higher, you know, and again, it's like the headline. But then you start to read and you go, oh, okay. So the continuing resolution is great. I mean, that would highlight for you the political tumult that I believe you just saw be pulled forward.
Right.
Being pulled forward, and anticipate that this is going to be a theme that we get when you're trying to make dramatic changes in a government that is very complacent, stuck in their ways, if you will. So I think that the fight to keep Congress, to keep the government open in Congress, really is indicative of some of the political volatility, I think, that we're going to see going forward into, you know, the new presidency.
Yeah. And one of the other things that you and I, again, that water cooler talk, right, with the three of us, it's you're looking at what is the incoming administration looking to accomplish? And, you know, the Treasury Secretary is, you know, and Trump has kind of talked about, you know, taking some money out, trying to reduce the deficit spending.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's like, be careful what you ask for, right?
Right.
You know, there's something that's going to happen, and it might not feel good right away, but maybe that's where we're at there. And again, you mentioned on the U.S., you know, dollar wrecking ball,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And so we can get into that dollar a little bit more of just, you know, rallying hard after the election, but, you know, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, one thing that was interesting after the election was you saw the dollar going up with the stock market. Mm-hmm. Rarely do you see that. If you can accomplish that, that is the gold standard for a country's economic prosperity. Yeah. It is something you can attain, but it's hard. Because imagine this. The last couple years that we've seen this market absolutely surge, I think a lot of that, and we've talked about this, mm-hmm. When you print money, you're devaluing your dollar. So XYZ stock is whatever it's worth, per share. And then you print a bunch more dollars. Well, if the dollar weakens, it's going to take more dollars now to buy that same share of XYZ. So inevitably, it looks like the price is higher. Really, the price isn't higher. It's just that it takes more dollars because the dollar is weaker. Well, that right there is a function that makes it easy for the market to go up.
Right.
Well, now do the opposite. Imagine if the dollar strengthens. XYZ stock, well, now it takes less dollars to buy, right? So that function can be challenging for the market. Trading on the headline, it's this idea that, Treasury Secretary, the nominee, Scott Bessent, his thing is currencies and stuff, and we'll get into maybe pick apart who he is as we start to see that he's actually nominated and what have you. But anyway, you got to be a little bit careful because the dollar wrecking ball is just that. Risk assets are priced in dollars. Well, if the dollar strengthens, it takes less dollars to buy that asset. And if you're just looking at your statement, you're going, wait a minute. It looks like you've come down in value, but you're failing to realize, I think, that, but your dollar has more purchasing power. The issue is we're not all hopping on planes and going internationally to buy our, live our lives.
Yeah.
So you got to watch out. But I think that there's two time frames playing out here, because I think we're going to talk about alternatives to the dollar mm-hmm. here in a moment. So what does that look like? I think that when you look at fiscal austerity in spending, that's what kind of we keep hearing, that government spending is going to be cut and things like that. That will strengthen the dollar in theory, but is it going to be enough?
Yeah.
Do we have the appetite to even pursue what it would really take? And my gosh, we are so far down this debt hole that it's going to take a lot to change the direction of the dollar, but I think if Rome is any example for us, we probably should focus on that.
No, no, yeah.
I mean they had some real currency issues before the fall.
Speaking on alternatives, right? It maybe it's not your father's 60-40 portfolio anymore with stocks and bonds. We've introduced some alternative, type investments into the portfolio mm-hmm. throughout the year as well, but through, different maybe some covered call strategies, or even, some private, assets. Mm-hmm. Speaking on alternatives, what are we thinking of, precious metals or, is it time for cryptocurrency?
Yeah, right.
Is it what was maybe considered a fad is really stuck, and has become an asset class that, everybody's really looking at.
Yeah. Certainly they're looking at it because the media is covering it, at least with respect to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and things like that. Let's unpack that because there's a couple different things playing out there, and I think they're all important. Number one, finding stability and productivity for retired investors is very, very much our commitment. And it takes sometimes like really looking at things and keeping an open mind, because we can find stability in ways that are different than just buying a bond that maybe actually hurts the portfolio. Yeah. Sure, we want to be diversified, but where we're finding that stability can change. So you mentioned a covered call writing strategy. Imagine if I own the S&P 500, and basically I'm agreeing to sell it at some future date at a higher price than it currently is at right now, and somebody pays me a dollar for that contract. Mm-hmm. Well, I just took the dollar in. Well, if it drops $1, I'm protected because I took a dollar. And if it goes up, they might call me on the covered call that I wrote. But great, I'm selling it at a higher price. I kept the dollar and we're looking good.
Right.
So, I mean, something like that, finding things like one of the issues that you have with bonds is that you lend a dollar out, you're going to get a dollar back. Well, inflation plays a role in that, obviously, right. If you're going to get a dollar back at a future date. So that's why interest rates play a role in that as well. You got to watch out. You got to understand what you're doing. So finding that stability for retirees that really works, it's a challenge, but boy, is it fun. And boy, is it a passion. All right, now let's get to alternatives to the U.S. dollar. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, I think that you had this dollar strengthen and these assets going up.
Right.
You look at that and go, well, that's not going to last forever. And it won't. One's going to win. And if the dollar wins, I think it's going to be a little bit challenging for us in terms of our portfolios. I mean, there are things we can do, but it's just not easy money. You got to think about it from that perspective. And it will put pressure on these cryptocurrency assets and things, Bitcoin being the largest one. Recognize that Bitcoin is out in the media a lot. And that's why we're touching it here today. It hasn't changed from what it was a couple years ago. It's a very volatile asset class. It's something that you have to understand before you buy it, what you're getting into. You have to be comfortable with wearing a 50% drawdown, 50%. And if you can make peace with that, it definitely now is in the world focus as having value. So that can't be argued anymore. You know, you can tell me you're not going to spend it. I get that. I probably won't either. But owning it, there's value there. So it's an alternative to the U.S. dollar. And I think with the election, what you saw was like this open-mindedness from the government officials as to what it really is and what it could be into the future.
Yeah.
So does every client need it? No. And there are other ways that you can get access to it. Remember, it's an alternative to the dollar. Guess what else is alternative to a dollar? A stock.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're finding that some of the top companies in the S&P 500 own Bitcoin as reserves on their balance sheet. So there are many ways that you can get exposure to that without just buying it outright.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be direct, right? You've got indirect exposure.
Doesn't have to scream in your statement.
You know, yeah. Correct.
Kind of dip your toes in a different way.
Right.
So if we start to kind of maybe change gears a little bit, right? So we've kind of been looking at December, looking at last year, looking at the portfolio. Maybe now, you know, let's look ahead a little bit. Typically, we talk about just the next month.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe let's just take a minute and look at two different scenarios. You know, looking ahead shorter term, and maybe we'll, and I know that we enjoy this because this is definitely what we sit and talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe even longer term, not 10 years from now, but 10 months from now, you know?
Right.
You know, where do we see short term in terms of looking ahead?
Yeah, it's always important to have those time frames mapped out in your mind.
Right.
We need some volatility, you know, and you're seeing it, you're getting it, and it's actually healthy. You know, things that just always go up, I mean, they're just creating a, when the volatility hits, it'll be bigger to the downside. So, you know, volatility is normal. It's, I hate to say this, but kind of welcomed.
Yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah, it flushes out the bad, you know, and so expect some volatility. Expect that as we transition into the new administration, one that's good, they've already said they're going to be very different from the past. Markets don't like different.
Right.
Markets are happy with status quo, quite frankly. So be ready for some volatility. But I think that we are longer term.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that we can be positive about. And James, you were asking, am I really going to say
we can joke about it? Yeah.
You know, it seems very realistic for the S&P 500 to hit 7,000. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, you're probably like end of 2025, early 2026. But what happens in the meantime? It might be a bit of a ride. But I think when you look at corporate America, it's pretty robust. I think also some of the things that you would look at with, for instance, cutting the deficit, the deficit spend.
Mm-hmm.
There are, okay, so that would take out a lot of stimulus. We talked about this on the last podcast. But there are other things that you can do to alleviate. The problem is when you cut without immediately impacting on the opposite side, that's where you catch all that volatility. But once some of those changes come through and then you got the thing running, it could be very special.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of talked about it could be an interesting ride. Well, we'll be here for the ride, right?
No doubt about
up
it.
Up and down, month to month.
Yep.
Talking about, you know, where we see it, what we see. And
navigating in the portfolio.
That's right. Until then, we'll see you next month.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next month.